Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Dean, we have elderly parents.
Yes, I do.
And, you know, you reach this point where you start being concerned about their well-being. Mm-hmm. You start thinking a little bit about the future. Yep. And where they might end up having to stay mm-hmm. at some point in their lives. I know I'm that in that place with my mom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously over the last year, things got a little scary
yeah.
in the world of senior living, nursing homes,
Absolutely.
Assisted living, the places where, you know, our elderly go to yeah. stay and live. And COVID-19 obviously changed the game there a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of going to be a little part of our topic today is that mm-hmm. we're going to dive into the technology in the senior living world.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lever Stewart with us from AccuShield. He's going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing to help, one, with you know what's going on with COVID, with keeping people safe and making mm-hmm. sure that only the right kind of people are getting in there, as well as you know a little bit more about the technology involved that's helping keep seniors not just safe, but also happy and connected.
Yeah, so important, right?
It is.
I mean, think about it. You lived all your life, you get to your golden years, and then a pandemic hits. I mean, oh my gosh.
I
and one
imagine.
It's as restrictive and just devastating as this one has been. So yeah, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about some technology that we can put in there and make things a little bit better for that.
Definitely. So yeah. we're going to get a little bit into that check-in process. We're going to talk about some of the ways the technology is impacting senior care around maybe loneliness and isolation,
mm-hmm.
Virtual visits, telemedicine, the stuff that's, you know, kind of been ramping up, especially over the last
oh,
year.
Yeah.
All that as well as our usual value to the VAR and what's tech connecting with us. It's time to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. So as I mentioned, our guest today is Lever Stewart. Lever is the COO of AccuShield. Lever, I want you to go ahead and start off by telling us, you know, a little bit one about yourself, your background, how you ended up at AccuShield, and then explain maybe a little bit about what AccuShield does, and especially their role in the senior living space.
Sure. And you know, thanks, John and Dean, for having me join you. I kind of came about, I am one of the founders as well of AccuShield, and it was kind of an odd way that I ended up in the business. I'm actually a recovering attorney, and I try to make my recovery meetings faithfully. Because of that, when I got out of private practice, I had a stint as I kind of became more, you know, entrepreneurial bent, where I owned a legal support services company. And so I had a background. Part of what that company did was criminal background checks, basically legal due diligence related to putting together, call it profile reports of either individuals or companies and the, you know, and the principals behind the companies. So a lot of that is what's called public records research. And so I got interested with my, you know, my two other partners in AccuShield when we started to look at, okay, here you have a senior living community and you have a very vulnerable population of folks, you know, more elderly folks in there, a lot of open doors. There are a lot of drugs that are easily available for theft. You've also got literally seniors living in these communities that have all of their cash and their jewelry and credit cards. So you have theft. You have the issue that they can be taken advantage of from a fiduciary standpoint. So I started to think about, you got all these visitors coming in, and the way they used to kind of manage it was a good old fashioned sign in logbook. And I don't know if you know, a lot of people can relate to that. If you have any relatives, you walk into their senior living community, if they live there, and there's this logbook sitting there, and you're supposed to sign it and say who you are and who you're there to see. A lot of people just walk by it, don't sign in. A lot of people, the concierge who sits at the front desk is busy and can't really manage that. And so ultimately, what we wanted to do was say, how can you have a better way to kind of understand who's coming in your community, which is a very open community, have it in an organizable fashion, and especially for safety and security. What about these, you know, these third-party caregivers, which, by the way, provide almost 40% of the care in senior living communities, not the staff in the community, but outside caregivers hired by the resident, hired by the resident's family to come in and help provide care, whether it's simple home care or it could be all the way to hospice and end of life situations. Well, how do you know anything about these people? And the community has a liability there because they're working on their property. So that kind of led to the concept of providing a visitor management system in senior living. So we developed and released a digital sign-in system, an easy way that when someone comes in, they can sign in, give a reason as to why they're there and who they're seeing. And then the community could have easily retrievable and manageable information in a dashboard to help with care. So they, because a lot of the times they don't even know, well, gosh, this resident's hiring all this outside care. We didn't even know. It helps in caring for the resident, helps in engagement for the resident. Wow, this resident never has any visitors. We have what we call the love meter where, you know, maybe we ought to go pay it a little more attention to them. No wonder they're not very happy. No one's visiting them. It's easy now to see activity. That did kind of change with the pandemic. And with the pandemic, we quickly pivoted. Okay, there is a new need. People need to sign in and get health screened. So we quickly added to our system the ability to answer customizable health screen questions, a touchless integrated thermometer to take your temperature when you sign in. And now you can also use this for your own staff because, you know, especially and still to this point right now, senior living communities are just finding ways to start reopening. They've really been in a shutdown state in terms of people coming in. So we can now add it to our system. You can health screen staff. You can health screen caregivers or visitors coming in.
Yeah, that's really good stuff, Lever. And in your perspective on it is very unique. Coming out of the legal field, I like the optics that you're bringing to the whole equation. And I think that's obviously very important to note because I don't think people realize the vulnerability of this population and how they can be taken advantage of. I mean, I guess we hear stories from time to time, but really not until you think about kind of the atmosphere, what it's all about, the workers that are there, just vulnerability is the word that just keeps coming back to me. You know, that was pre-COVID-19.
Right.
Now,
right.
Even worse in the sense that now we're dealing with the pandemic. So that legal aspect's pretty interesting.
Yeah. What I think is kind of interesting here, too, is that it's possible as much as, you know, we don't ever want to think about this as being a good thing that COVID happened. But, you know, some good innovation has come out of it. We've acknowledged that before. And this is one of those things where I feel like hopefully some of what was put in place here is the same kind of stuff that once the pandemic's over, you keep in place and still utilize to help you, these people out from these other things they were vulnerable with. Yeah. Whether it was, you know, potentially someone coming in and stealing something, someone coming in that shouldn't be there, you know, or making sure that the right kind of people were there when they should be or they're getting visited enough. We'll talk a little bit more about that too. But, you know, I did want to talk about a couple of the little stats around, you know, senior living and nursing homes. So, you know, I found an article from, I think is the NAM.edu that talked about, according to a New York Times database, nursing homes account for 8% of cases and 41% of COVID-19 related deaths nationwide. And I think that was even from a few months back. So it probably is even worse now. Although I would hope that before this second wave came in, you know, that we got a little more diligent about who we did let in there. Maybe that's, you know, I feel like we're not hearing about quite as much about nursing homes being hit quite as hard now. But even so, devastating statistic, you know,
and
highly unfortunate, which has obviously precipitated the need for making sure that the right kind of people are coming in or not able to come in.
Yep.
So, Lever, you kind of already mentioned this idea, you know, that how you had to kind of pivot your business a little bit to cope with COVID-19 and deal with what changed. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about those check-ins in that screening, situation. And you mentioned, obviously, you've got like a temperature solution that's a touchless solution, which I love that because I feel like, you know, if you have to pick up a thermometer and aim it at your head or someone else has to pick it up and aim it at your head, that's just a touch point that could still be problematic as well. But, you know, I also wanted to tackle the other concern here, which is we're starting to hear a lot more guidance and a lot more coming out that temperature screenings probably aren't really super useful in preventing the potential spread of COVID. Not saying it's not beneficial, not saying you shouldn't.
It's not the only thing, right? I mean, you can't hang your hat on just temperature checking. Okay, you know, I don't have a temperature, so good to go.
Right.
So what's the stat we saw there? It's like,
yeah, the New England Journal of Medicine study found only 13% of COVID patients reported a fever during the course of their illness.
Wow.
That is strikingly small.
That is striking. It's like 80% of those that are contagious aren't.
I feel like when this whole thing started, it was always the thing was like, if you got a fever, that's it. Yeah. You've got it. You know, watch out for that fever.
Right.
But now we know that that is not necessarily a high indicator, or that most of the people who can have it and spread it aren't necessarily getting fevers.
So you need a more robust solution.
Exactly. Yeah. So Lever, from your perspective, you know, how are you tackling that? I'm sure you've probably got some questions about that, about, hey, you know, we're not really sure we want to even care about temperature checks anymore. Right. But obviously, they still want to do some level of screening. That still is important, whether you're doing the temp check or not. So how are you tackling that particular question?
No, I mean, I think it's a great question. And some people are more, you know, cognizant than others. But as you say, you know, answering health screen questions and taking a temperature is a preventative measure, but it's not, you know, it's not the end all.
Right.
It's almost in two steps. I feel like originally senior living communities are like, we just have to take steps, period. What's the best thing that we can do? Well, one of the things that we can do is, you know, ask questions. Hopefully people are, you know, concerned enough about safety that they're going to be honest in answering them. And that attacks a bit of, you know, that adds value to the temperature taking, because the temperature by itself, as you say, is not a terribly, you know, great indicator of whether you have COVID or not. So we're going to ask these health screen questions. Then we're also going to take a temperature, and between the two of them, be able to react if they don't pass it. The reality in the next stage, as I call it, that I think where senior living is going, as well as a lot of other, you know, industry verticals that need to be concerned about health, is what I would call more infection prevention programs. And what that means is, with the release of the vaccine, I think you are now starting to highlight a new credential that someone needs to be able to show in order to be eligible to enter, in this case, a senior living community. And it's now a health screening credential. You know, how can I efficiently collect proof that you've been vaccinated? Not just the first shot, but the second shot. How can I collect proof that if you have chosen not to be vaccinated, what's your most recent COVID clearance test? How can I efficiently remind you, if you want to come in, that your test, you need to be retested if you haven't been vaccinated? How can I collect now TB clearance? Because that's an issue in senior living. How can I collect that you have gotten your annual influenza shot? That I think is the next stage. Mm-hmm. The technology has got some tremendous solutions, because this is a massive just data management issue. And how do you efficiently collect it? How are you able to monitor it? How are you able to say, all right, these, you know, 150 people that are coming in regularly, I can go on my dashboard and quickly see they've turned in their health screen credentials. Now when they sign in, they can, you know, whether they do or don't, let's pretend it's post-pandemic. You're not asking health screening questions anymore. You're not taking a temperature every time. Society's kind of a little back to normal, but you don't want them to come in unless their health screen credentials are valid.
Yeah. And keep in mind, that's front of house and back of house.
Yep.
I mean, it's equally important to get the staff, which, you know, in solutions like this, into this process as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's, I love the fact that you're kind of pointing out this idea that, look, there's not just COVID to worry about when you're stepping into a facility like this and you're exposing yourself to the elderly. You know, there's, as you mentioned, TB, influenza, you know, there's any myriad of different ways that infections can occur. And, you know, this is as vulnerable of a population as it possibly can get.
Mm-hmm.
And one where, when something happens, spread can be so rampant and so quick and so dangerous. So, yeah, you know, I think we're talking, you know, something that, again, this is the future. You know, this isn't just a, hey, we're doing this right now because we have to, but we need to do this down the road. I like the idea too. I didn't even really thought of the whole vaccination thing, which I know, you know, right now there's still a lot of discussion about, do we require this in certain settings or not? You know, I feel like I think for the most part, you know, most nursing homes and senior care facilities required flu shots from their staff. I'd say the majority of them probably did before, and most healthcare settings do. I know a lot of them are still debating that about the COVID thing, but let's be honest, we've reached this point where we know that we're probably dealing with an endemic soon now, where this will just be with us for a long time, and we will be getting regular shots probably every year. You know, I think we've kind of acknowledged that's probably what's going to happen here. So I can't imagine you're not going to reach a point where you're going to be asking that staff, like, hey, every year you got to get your booster shot. You've got to, you know, and you've got to be able to verify that it's that time before you're allowed to come back in again. Is that kind of what you're expecting in the future?
Yeah, I think so. And it's complicated now, too, by the fact that, you know, the current vaccines are being issued under an emergency use authorization. They don't have what you would call final FDA clearance. So there's a much bigger argument of people saying, well, I don't want to get vaccinated until it has, for example, full FDA clearance. And that's kind of the endemic stage. I think you will get to the point where, just like, you know, public schools require that, you know, you've had certain vaccinations, you know, before you can attend, or, you know, those are going to be easier and more acceptable. But right now, you have to have some flexibility, because there's a high, as you know, there's a high percent of people who've already said, I don't want to get vaccinated until they know more about it. So how can they come in? Well, you've got to be able to, okay, what's your most recent clearance test, and set the standards. And it's complicated. You say, well, you have to have a clearance test within the last 72 hours. Well, what happens if you got infected within those last 72 hours? You know, it gets complicated. So I do think that the having technology allows you to set standards that you can create on your own, that can be dependent upon your industry, like senior living, which is a very high concern. And that flexibility is important in the technological solution.
Yeah. And as resellers that are listening to this and technologists, you know, it's important for us all to realize that these solutions are out there and they're very important. I think no better highlight than the senior living community highlighting the needs for visitor management type of solutions like this. And they're out there. They're not that expensive to begin with. And I also love the flexibility. I like where you're going with it, Lever, because yes, you can use it to address the current need that is in the pandemic, but there are broader needs around visitor management or just people management. You know, they're coming into facilities like this and others. There are other applications for this, obviously, in other verticals and other industries and stuff like that. But really important to understand this type of technology and how it can be implemented.
Yeah.
Not that difficult.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's pivot a little bit and talk about some other technology that's impacting senior care right now. And Lever, you kind of mentioned a couple of these up front when you were kind of talking about the, you know, what AccuShield does and kind of, you know, what some other applications that you've been diving into. So I know, you know, when I was doing some reading and research about this, and, you know, we hear you, if especially if you know somebody in senior care, or if you've got a relative that is in a nursing home, that the isolation and the loneliness that can sometimes come with that for seniors is a huge impact on their health, their well-being, their happiness. And I love that when I was reading about your technology, that part of what you incorporate into the visitor management piece beyond, you know, COVID is this idea of ensuring that that we're making sure that these people are, you know, are being contacted and being, you know, someone's talking to them, even if they don't have family that's visiting on a regular basis, that, you know, like, hey, has someone visited this person often enough? When was the last time someone came and visited this person? Do we need to have someone maybe go in and just spend some time, sit down with them, talk with them, whether it's a staffer or a volunteer or something? You know, or maybe they don't have family at all. So talk to us a little bit about how this technology and visitor management is impacting, you know, the lives and the well-being of seniors outside of anything related to disease or infection.
Right. The kind of, when you look at, as you say, addressing, you know, the concern, how can you make sure that a senior living in a senior living community is just living a really good life through communication with family, through, you know, activities in the community, whatever it is, kind of break it into two categories. There's the aspect of people coming in to either care or visit for them. And that's where we're focused, the visitor management side. And then frankly, there's also just the focus inside the community. How do they get their arms around all this different care that is being provided, and how is it effectively communicated to the family? Whether it's, as they call, clinical, which is strict medical care. And there are lots of technology companies out there that have what are called clinical programs that have to do with how can we share appropriately, medical care so that this doctor knows that this doctor is doing something different or otherwise. So one of those engage, they call outside of clinical, the engagement for the resident, they tend to call them family engagement tools. Mm-hmm. And those clinical tools, those family engagement tools are kind of internal to the community. So we pair with them. There are integrations with systems. We're focused like they are holistically. How can, for example, the caretaker, how can you as the caretaker of your mom in a community somehow be on top of what's all the care that she is receiving? How engaged is she in the community? Is she going to yoga classes? Is she getting out of her room, or is she totally isolated? Who all is visiting mom? I know I go visit mom, but is anybody else visiting mom? And technology has allowed for new tools to create that engagement. An example, on our visitor management side, we have a mobile app that called Connect, where if you are authorized, and of course you need to be legally authorized, whether as a guardian or whether the senior, and I'm just going to call her mom, whether mom has said, I authorize my daughter to be able to kind of see the comings and goings of caregivers that we've hired and visitors that see me. Well, now you can just sign on your mobile app, your Connect app. I want to see if anybody's visited mom this week, because if not, I want to go see her. Are friends going and seeing her? It's a way to monitor that. Then you tie it internally. Well, I want to go to a program, hopefully a single program, that can also tell me real quickly, and I can look at it on my cell phone. Did mom go to classes today? Did she go to yoga? Is she getting out of her room? Is she eating all three meals a day that the community is free? Is she going to the dining room? Things like that, so that you feel more connected and you have more knowledge of how your mom is doing.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting. And as you were speaking, Lever, I was thinking about, the trends in population and some of the, what we need to be aware of as, again, technologists, as it relates to the technology in this space. I mean, I think that, again, COVID has put a spotlight on senior living and the need for technology within the space. Maybe not the most technologically advanced type of a place when you walked into a senior center before, because just to your point, I mean, I was reading surveys where, Wi-Fi was not really a thing in a lot of seniors, believe it or not, that wasn't a thing. So you're starting to see an increased need or implementation of just basic wireless networking and some of those technologies. So when we think about it as resellers of technology, there's an obligation and an opportunity here to get out in front of this. When you think about the population and how our population continues to age here in the U.S., it's actually a global thing. There's going to be an ongoing need. Senior living centers it's not an opportunity that's going away. There's going to be demand, to Lever's point. I think, obviously it's those family members, those that are the loved ones who are interested to know what is going on, that is going to drive technology adaptation within the space as well. And I think that there's an obligation and an opportunity here for us as technologists to do that. I read another statistic that said that of senior living centers, 56% don't have a concrete plan of how to address some of these really basic technology needs, from check-in, like we've been talking about here, to Wi-Fi, to other things. So there's a need in the marketplace and I like the fact that the spotlight is shown on it. I don't like why it's being shown on the senior community, but I think to your point, there's an opportunity here to address the technological needs of that community.
Yeah. I think about my mother's heading that direction at some point. Hopefully it's not anytime super soon, but I know it's going to happen at some point. And I'm thinking the same thing where it occurs to me, and I don't say this to be flippant in any way, but I kind of approach it the same way I approach childcare and daycare for my son. You know, when we were looking for daycare centers for him, I paid attention to what kind of technology do they offer for me to keep track of what he's doing every day.
Cameras in the room, an app that I can see, you know, did he have lunch? Oh yeah. No, like, he kicked a kid over here. What?
Right. You know, they're sending pictures. They're letting you know what they've been up to. If they're playing games. Like, I love that kind of interactive aspect. And I kind of feel like we should expect the same thing for the senior members of our family. Like, I don't want to think that I'm just, you know, putting her somewhere where, well, you know, other than me giving her a call from time to time and checking in on her, I have no idea what she's up to or if she's happy or if she's doing fun, cool stuff. You know, so it's a weird correlation. I mean, people have made the correlation before. The beginning of life and end of life is very similar in a lot of ways. And I think this is an example of that. But yeah, I have to think that kind of technology is going to give a lot of people a leg up when it comes time. As you mentioned, the aging population is getting bigger and bigger. It's going to be us someday too. And I know I'm going to want all the coolest perks and features when I get to that point. You know, I'm hoping I'm still relatively tech savvy. And, you know, if I have to go be somewhere where I can't have Wi-Fi,
I already know what's taking care of you. It's the disinfectant robot. We've had this conversation many a times.
That's true. There's a recurring gag that I'm a germaphobe on this show. So.
But Lever, go ahead.
I was going to say, Dean, to your point about technology and advancement, I agree. It's sad that the pandemic has kind of, the reality is it has pushed. I think senior living and some other industries, we have got to start embracing technology more to come up with a manageable solution. And, you know, we've been at this for 7 years in senior living, and it's been fascinating to see. In our early days, it was a real struggle. It was, to your initial point, Dean, there were a lot of senior living communities that wanted, for example, a digital visitor management system, but their Wi-Fi was so poor because we're a cloud-based system. You got to have internet connectivity. There are privacy law reasons why you don't want that data stored on a kiosk sitting on a desk. So it's like a dumb terminal. It transfers the data immediately to a cloud-based HIPAA privacy law compliant database. Well, if your internet's bad, it's not going to work well. And so it's been fascinating to see how senior living communities, especially post-pandemic, have upped their game in terms of internet connectivity. And I think it's a real opportunity for the people who provide technology connection solutions, you know, that are, you know, it's a real opportunity that we see a lot of increased investment in senior living in things like better internet connectivity.
Yeah. And some of the basic things that we've been talking about here and the solution, obviously, we were talking with the AccuShield. I mean, you know, easy to implement type of a thing.
Yeah. I think the other important piece of technology here, too, to think about is, and especially for our VARs, as they're thinking about, hey, what do I need to talk about when I'm approaching these customers, is virtual visits, telemedicine.
Yeah.
Something we all became very familiar with over the last year when a lot of doctors were basically saying, like, hey, don't come in, which, again, you know, yes, we'll go back to germaphobe John. I made a point out of not going in if I didn't have to, you know. If you can tell me, hey, I can meet with my doctor and get what I need.
Yeah, but honestly, there's a certain amount of convenience with telehealth anyway. I mean, I don't have to drive to my doctor's appointment and stuff like that.
But that's super important, again, for the elderly, where you're trying to, you know, you're minimizing their risk of being out and about. You're minimizing any chance for falls. You don't have to, you know, load some people on a bus or something to take them somewhere where you can bring the care to them in a sense by having technology on hand where you can have a virtual visit with their doctor. I know there was somebody we were working with, I believe, on a marketing campaign in the last year that had the kind of technology where, you know, you could even integrate medical devices in with it. So if you're using a stethoscope or some other kind of medical device, it could be integrated with this technology where the readings that you got were sent back through the app and through the technology so that the provider could see all of this data. You'd have someone on the staff on hand that was doing these tests, but then an actual doctor was getting this information and, you know, making decisions based on it or deciding if they needed to, you know, actually come in or, you know, be seen in some way. And I think that's the kind of technology that has to be a broader part of this picture as we move forward, thinking about, hey, how do we, again, keep this population safe, mm-hmm. keep them happy, but also give them all the care they need, that clinical type care, mental health care, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Lever, any other thoughts on that or any other kind of technologies you think are really impacting senior living right now?
Yeah, as you say, telemedicine feeds right into this entire concept of a better clinical database where you can go to one location to get a comprehensive picture of the care being provided to a senior. And there's been a lot of advancements in these clinical programs, how they aggregate all of this disparate information. You know, what about your medical records from the past? How can they be considered by a doctor now providing you advice through telemedicine? If it's telemedicine, can that, you know, much more rapidly be put in a central database? So now you have a holistic picture. We know the third party care coming in, helping the senior. We know the outside medical care that they've gotten. We know the telemedicine that care that they've now gotten. You know, that's a picture that you've got to have a way to capture all that different type of medical information. So you have the visitor management side. What about the caregivers coming in? What about, you know, the fact the resident called the doctor or hospice is now coming in? And then, you know, be able to look in one easy to read database that gives you a holistic picture. That's been the big challenge. I think you guys know for years, people have talked about, you know, we have all this technology and advancement. Why is it so hard to, you know, that when you go and see a doctor, you go, well, I got to bring this medical record from this other visit. And don't you have these records? And no, we didn't know that you got hospitalized for this 3 years ago. We have to go to that hospital to get it.
Yeah.
People are sort of, why is this so hard?
Yeah.
And I think there's been a lot of advancements focused in senior living on pulling all of this, you know, medical record together in a single database that's more user friendly.
Yeah.
Now that's a broad problem with healthcare in general that I think we've been tackling for years.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say there was an end in sight and we have
I got this manila folder with my information in it.
It almost is. I hate to say that, but I do feel like you get to that point where you almost feel like you have to carry around all your information yourself. And that should not be the case.
Yeah, I know.
We are too far advanced of a society to still have to be that reliant on everyone keeping track of their own care.
Yeah. Hey, Lever, let's help some of our resellers connect the dots here as well on this technology. Because I can imagine some of them are sitting back saying, you know what, I don't play in healthcare. I don't play in senior living care. But this the solution that we're talking about at the head end here, the visitor management type of a solution, it can be implemented. It has broader reach than just obviously in senior living care. It can be used back of house. So if we have resellers that are in retail or hospitality, you can use this same solution. It's a more robust solution for employees that are coming into a restaurant, that are coming into a retail, that are coming into a manufacturing space. You can use this technology. So wherever you're putting technology today, there, I guarantee you there's an application because there's probably people around and people need to be managed. And this is a great solution for that. So you can dip your toe by helping your current customers with this type of solution. And then, oh, by the way, visit the senior living center down the road from them. And there's a door opener as well once you get comfortable with the technology. Lever, let's talk about some other areas, right? Where this technology can be used and where you're seeing it being used.
Right. Well, it's, you know, with the pandemic outbreak, we ended up, you know, basically pivoting as well, not just in providing the health screening, but then we just got a huge interest in demand from various verticals contacting us. So we ended up branching into what I call non-senior living. It's a product line that we have called Safe Check-In, but we have our system running now in many different non-senior living industry verticals. I would say from a focus standpoint, one of the biggest ones is industrial and manufacturing. Because, you know, these producers, these manufacturers have got to get product out, but they can sometimes have thousands of employees that need to come in to manufacture the product. How can they have them come in safely during a pandemic? So, you know, our system has been used a lot in industrial and manufacturing, Safe Check-In, to provide health screening, signing in. Then they start to realize the advantage, oh my gosh, Now I can actually, if I'm a line manager, I've never know when that contractor is coming in to fix my printing press or whatever is broken. Now, because they sign in, I know they're health screened and I can get a text alert or an email alert, or they just signed in and this is where they're going and I can go meet them with a change order. They're starting to realize the value of visitor management as well. Yeah. Another big area is what's called post-acute care. We've installed in a lot of hospitals and doctor's offices and rehab clinics and things like that, where they're health conscious because you're coming in for care. But you, as you said, there are other areas, university academic settings, another big growth area for us, where whether it's K-12 school programs or whether it's university programs, they have to find a way to manage, you know, that the staff that comes in, that now as classes are reopening, it can be safe. And do you health screen students coming into class? And so there are a lot of industries that are concerned about this.
Wholeheartedly agree. And there's opportunity there, right? I mean, just knowing the technology, understanding how it can be applied, and then, you know, you probably have it in your customer base. Hey, Lever, can I throw you a couple curveballs? I know we didn't talk about this here real quick, but I've got my reseller hat on, and, you know, I know a lot of them have programmers on site. With AccuShield, do you guys have APIs or SDKs that, you know, that connect to other things? Talk to us a little bit about that, about how they can work with you. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And literally we work with distributors, we work with resellers. But one of the most important things that we feel has been important to evolve and develop in are integrations. So, you know, I use one example, what's called access control. I mean, we work closely with a company that because we have open APIs, that people can, we can make, you know, basically you can develop an integration to, or we can push out of. It's not hard to find something like an access control company and say, all right, now, if you want, once you've successfully signed in, it can unlock the door. And otherwise you can't get in unless you've successfully signed in, which is defined as past health clearance. And then there are so many advancements in that technology. For example, a company we work with, they have a head-end unit that you don't have to put in their hardware. They can literally retrofit to just about every type of door lock hardware, their system, so that now at a much lower cost, someone signs in, it unlocks the door. Here are the ways that you correct or notify people if you didn't move fast enough and get in. You know, just like your, you know, day-to-day normal situation when a door is unlocked for you through a buzzer. You have to have methods to be able to fix it if you miss the door. Easy to do now. So integrations are very important. Integrations, we have them with HR management programs. We have them with clinical programs, where somebody doesn't want to keep on having to go to 3, 5, 10 different programs to get an answer. They'd like it all to be automated into a single program.
There you go. Yep. Making it even easier for them. And real quickly, right, because I know it sounds like one of the partners, one of the hardware companies that you've been working with a lot, Elo, you know, is brought to you, a good partner of yours. We share a common bond there. And a company that I previously used to work for, Elo was the connecting dot to Blue Star. We started buying touchscreen monitors as well from that company. So I know that you guys do that. And anyway, they've got a whole robust solution that as relates to that, that you can get, you can purchase through Blue Star, by the way.
There you go. Plug, plug.
As if you didn't know.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I feel like there's a lot of cool stuff about visitor management, in particular with senior living, but definitely beyond. I love a technology that has a very good specific use that we can talk about, but also one that, like you mentioned, our audience can listen to and say, hey, there's applications here elsewhere. So, you know, if you want to learn more about that, visit AccuShield.com. That's AccuShield.com. You can learn about Safe Check-In there as well. The application that's beyond senior living. So definitely go check that out.
Or our Elo team. Sorry. Well, our Elo team is really good. Well in bed with AccuShield, and they would know a lot about it too.
Yes,
so anyway,
definitely. They recommended Lever and AccuShield to us actually for this podcast. So we appreciate that. And that reminds me also, I want to thank our, TechConnect sponsors. That is Elo, Epson, Honeywell, and Zebra. We couldn't do this show without you. We obviously appreciate your support. Listen, if you want to talk to us, tell us a little bit about, you know, your feelings on senior living technology, maybe ask a question that we could relay over to our Elo team or to Lever. First of all, you can leave us a review. A 5-star rating and review are on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a great review there, we might read some of them on air. We might answer a question if you have one there.
The challenge is still out there,
the
right?
The challenge is still out there, yes. Yeah. You know, I know people are listening. I know people like this show. I see the numbers. So it's time to go give us that review. Come on. It doesn't take that long. Just, you know, hit that little 5-star button, type in a little review, even if it's just, hey, great job, guys. We need the validation.
Yeah, there you go.
But you can also reach out to us on Twitter at TechConnectPod or email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right, let's wrap up with the usual segments that kind of ties everything together. First of all, the value of the VAR.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like we've really touched on a lot of value of the VAR already.
I think we have today, yeah.
But let's package it up. Let's all compress it a little.
Fair enough.
And you know, make a very succinct takeaway for our audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lever, my question is, you know, our customers, you know, our VARs may have a lot of customers that are thinking about it, or maybe they're trying to approach them about implementing some kind of screening technology. And maybe they think, oh, it's not really a big deal. We know what we're doing at this point. We've already figured it out. You know, the pandemic's been going on for about a year now. We've already got this sorted out. But how would you approach them about, hey, this isn't just about the pandemic. This is about some long-term value there. And again, I know we've touched on this, but give us the, you know, the short pitch for, you know, AccuShield and Safe Check-In for the long-term.
Yeah, I definitely think that the pandemic has led people to realize more the value of getting your arms around people coming into your facility, whether it's senior living, whether it's any other type of facility. It's digital visitor management, sign-in visitor management. So I think that VARs, distributors are at least what we're being told by the people that we're working with. There is an increase, a dramatic increase due to the pandemic in people saying, we need a technology solution to handle controlling people coming in. And they're starting to realize more the benefit outside of the pandemic, outside of just health screening, even if there's no more need to health screen. There is huge value that our customers are looking for, and you provide, you AccuShield through Safe Check-In or AccuShield provide this solution. We want to be able to sell it to our customers. And, you know, we've got lots of programs going in place for it. Quite frankly, I feel, you know, our attitude is that we've got a lot of presence in senior living. So, you know, we feel like in a large market share there, but especially outside of senior living, I would love to hear from people who are interested in our product, because we want to specialize in visitor management and health screening. We do not want to necessarily specialize in hundreds of different industries outside of senior living in terms of sales and marketing. So we're very focused. We want to work with distributors, value-added resellers. Come let us show you what the product does. And we'd love, we have a nice program that, you know, can make money for you. And you know more about these industries than we do. And you have penetration into them.
Yeah. Awesome. I think it's just, you know, as we've said before, it's just another way for our resellers to embrace additional technologies that they can bring to their customers. And in this case, really important in the senior living care. We've talked about how there's opportunity out there, opportunity in spend. You know, they're starting to see an increased amount of spend, opportunity in population. It's not going away. It's certainly, you know, as our population ages, the opportunity's there. So it's really just incumbent upon the reseller, I think, to understand the technology. We got a good one here in AccuShield, a nice robust solution that goes beyond just the temperature check. And yes, it can be used more in day two with the screening, with the forms that you can implement and stuff like that. There's applications and use for it even after this pandemic maybe subsides a bit. So yeah, lots of good stuff there.
And I think the only thing I would add is, and I kind of touched on this earlier, this idea of competition and the idea of getting a leg up on competition.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our population is growing. It's growing older. The area where I live alone, there are at least 3 different senior facilities and centers that have either popped up in the last year or two or
being constructed. Right. Absolutely. Now. Yeah.
So there's so much opportunity there. And again, I feel like as you get further in the future, as when you get to out, when we get to retirement age, and mm-hmm. you know, our kids are thinking about where to stick us someday, mm-hmm. you know, or where, you know, our next life is going to be. I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of competition between these different centers. That's going to be based a lot around technology
yeah.
and integration and mm-hmm. how our children can keep check on us. As we've talked about, these idea yep. of being able to check in with us. So again, when you're talking to your customers, that's the conversation you should be having, is, hey, you know, whether you are ready to do this or not, your competition might be. I just passed by a new facility being built, you know, 2-3 mm-hmm. miles down the road. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to have no Wi-Fi and minimal amounts of technology in their rooms? No,
no.
They're going to be on it. So you need to be on it too if you want to get ahead of that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think there's a strong value there, is to go out and talk technology and help them understand that, look, this is the future. It's, and you need to be on board or get there, or you might not be open in 20 years. You know?
Right. So.
All right. Well, let's wrap up with, go ahead. Sorry, Lever.
And if I could just add one quick thing, touching on that, a good example of that, technology aggregators are driving toward, they're hearing from their customers as specialists in an industry, we're hearing it in senior living, and that drives the technology forward. You know, we've released our mobile app. We're not the only ones, but it's important to have a mobile app so that you can faster sign in, and it's totally touchless. So you're not touching any screens, which people worry about touching things. You can sign in, answer your questions, identify yourself. You walk up to the kiosk, get your temperature taken in a couple of seconds, and you're done. Well, another advantage of that mobile app is we have within our system the capability, oh, this facility that I'm going in requires these 2 or 3 credentials. I can take a picture of my proof of vaccination. I can take a picture of my recent, you know, COVID clearance or whatever it is. And automatically transmits, loads into the dashboard, facility can check and say you're good to go. You're able to sign in. These are the kind of advancements that are critical, I think, in enhancing visitor management above and beyond just current pandemic.
Yeah, I love it. I love that the contactless aspect of everything is always one of my favorites. Regardless of COVID, it was not even a germ thing, but just a convenience thing.
Yeah, right.
Being able to pull my phone out, do everything that needs to be done. And like you said, you could maybe just walk in and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Like, all right, I've already got everything I need for you. You can go right on through. I love that. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, agreed.
Well, let's wrap up with our favorite segment of every week, What's Tech Connecting with You? This is where we talk about a piece of technology and innovation, something going on in the world of science and tech that has caught our eye, maybe something we're playing with, something we're reading about. So, Weaver, I'll start with you. What's Tech Connecting with you right now?
Well, I start maybe with a couple, but since we're talking about senior living, there is so much cool stuff happening in senior living that I can think of a couple there. You even mentioned briefly earlier, John, the concept of, you know, falls. Falls are statistically the most crippling thing to happen to seniors. You can be a senior and be incredibly healthy, but if you have a bad fall at that age, it's statistically, they say the recovery is incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. And so there's been so much advancement. Well, how is there a technological way to help people? You know, fall prevention is what they call it, fall prevention. So it's unbelievable now. You have providers that can provide certain types of monitors, discrete, you know, they can be in your room, they can sit in the ceiling or in a lamp, they can be in other public places. But these monitors are able to read, you know, your gait and how you walk and move around. They can report if you're not getting up or moving at all. And then that allows them to predict where this person is becoming more susceptible to a fall risk, and we need to implement new programs to help them. So it's incredible what they call that fall management that's now not reactive. Oh, they fell. They got to hit a button. Oh, wait a minute. They can't even hit the button. Instead, we're being proactive and saying, you know, this is where we can monitor and see that someone is becoming an increasing fall risk. They're becoming an increasing risk to fall, you know, maybe fall out of their bed at night because of shifting. Kind of cool stuff on that front. Another one is easy use, and they're making them easier and easier. TVs. They now have special remotes. Some providers in senior living who provide technology solutions. so that it's incredibly easy for a senior to use this special remote on their TV screen to just hit buttons to do everything from, this is what I want to eat based on today's menu. There are the activities. I want to go to this activity. Oh, this is the reminder that I have this doctor's appointment. Oh, this is exciting. I just got, you know, a message on my TV or my phone just rang that a visitor's up front to see me. So now I'm prepared for them to come. All of these things are pretty cool and increasing quality of life.
Yeah, I like that, the increasing of the quality of life. Yeah. You know where I thought you were going there, Lever, in the beginning of your What's Tech Connecting with You. Have you seen these clothes that people can wear that have airbags in them? I think they're using them right now for like snowboarders and stuff that. That if there's like avalanche detection and like if it detects it, boom, all of a sudden they're in this like bubble. But I think it's skateboarders or something like that. There's like clothing out there that has airbags so that if you fall, boom, it like that's immediately awesome. Inflates and stuff like that. So I see a world not only as Lever just described it, where you've got technology kind of watching you, but clothing, you know, that hey, somewhat stylish, but
I want all of this stuff for my toddler. Now, granted, he survives and bounces
back. He's a rubber band. Toddlers are rubber bands,
but
dude.
This kid, he's at this place right now where he just standing up can somehow find a way to fall down.
Yeah.
And bump into something.
Yeah.
And most of the time, he's just like, whatever, gets back up. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of tears involved. But
right.
I mean, give me all the tech. Like, you want to talk about putting someone in a bubble? Like, you know, like just
oh, maybe
come
I
on,
shouldn't
kid.
Have opened the door for you here. Oh, man.
I'll be one of those. I guess it won't be like a helicopter parent. It'll be like a, I don't know, inflatable cushion parent or something.
Yes. I'm right. Sure, yes.
You know? Something to that effect.
Well, speaking of kids, what's tech connecting with me? You're a gamer, right?
Somewhat.
Are you gaming with Miles yet at all or no?
We're playing like old school Nintendo and Super Nintendo. And he's not really playing yet. He thinks he's playing while I'm playing. Like,
yeah.
I'll play like Street Fighter or something. And he's I beat you.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there's an app out there called Roblox. Have you heard of this yet?
I have not.
Okay. You haven't gotten into this ecosystem yet. But so it's an app. It's just a gaming app that my daughter's 9. So a lot of 9-year-olds in that area are playing the heck out of this thing. And what's cool about it is you get an avatar, of course. You know, you create a persona, but then you can go into a variety of games. So they've got, you know, whatever you can name the game, you can kind of go into that world. And one of the ones that you play in is like this island world where you have an island and you build it up and you get money and stuff like that. But what I like about it is it's fun. You can play with your kid. So I have got my avatar. I'm on my phone. You know, she's on whatever, her iPad, and we're all, you know, in the world building things and stuff like that. But it's really family friendly. I mean, they've really taken an eye on the whole, they understand what the parents' issues with dealing with these apps. So like all the clothing's appropriate. There's a chat filter that monitors what people are saying on the chat and filters out bad words and all this kind of good stuff. So I kind of like that angle of it. So Roblox, if you haven't heard of it, you know, you will. You'll be there very eventually. And I don't think you can do like slang and stuff like that with it. But
it's funny because I didn't think about this because my son refers to it as his game. But he got a Fire tablet for Christmas from the in-laws, and I wasn't entirely sure if he was ready for a tablet because I tried him out on an old iPad a couple times and he struggled with it. But he has picked it up really fast, and there's a lot of cool little just very simplistic games on it. And it's the kids version. So
there's minimal
that he can get into. Like it's already preset up where, you know, I can pick like what age and what age group I want him to have content for. Mm-hmm. I can determine how long he's allowed to be on it, all that stuff. But there's a lot of just fun little game, simple stuff like matching, you know, card matching and putting together puzzles and stuff that he will just is quickly glommed onto and figured out how to use. And it blows my mind because I think I can't imagine having something like this when I was his age.
Yeah. Until you have that first moment where he knows more about this device than you do. I'm sure that's only probably about 2 or 3 years down the road for you.
Or then when we start gaming too, like I know he's going to want like the latest and greatest system and it's going to be so far over my head. It'll
right.
be VR or something. I'll be
following
all over the place.
Fully immersed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll be just kicking my butt all the time. So guess I can enjoy it while I can. Yeah,
absolutely. So. You should. You need to.
That's right.
So what's tech connecting with you?
So mine is an article I came across that says physicists built an anti-laser to charge your phone from across a room.
Wait. An anti-laser?
Anti-laser.
Okay.
So,
how's this thing work?
Read this briefly here. It says, the idea is simple. Sure.
Sorry. It sounds simple coming out of the gate, right?
Just like a laser emits light particles or photons one after another in an neat and orderly row, an anti-laser sucks up photons one after another in reverse order. Researchers have long speculated that a device like this might make wires and charging cables a thing of the past, allowing people to beam energy invisibly across a room to a laptop or phone and power it without plugging in. But though basic anti-lasers have been tested before, the real world isn't as neat and orderly as a laser pointed at a fixed receiver in a laboratory. Electronics move around, objects get in the way, walls reflect energy in unexpected ways. The new technology demonstrated in this experiment accounts for that, as it receives scattered energy beamed around a space in an unpredictable pattern, still receiving 99.996% of the sent power.
What?
Yeah, I didn't dive too far into like the actual science behind all this, fascinating.
I don't need to. It receives power just kind of walking.
I thought wireless
around.
Charging was pretty cool, but you know, I guess you know, like if you don't want to have to actually set your phone down for any reason.
Wow. Yeah. So we're transmitting energy.
Just energy.
Anti-lasers.
Which, to be fair, I've kind of heard that as like the potential future of wireless charging. Like legit wireless as in you don't even need to set it anywhere where there's any kind of pad that's plugged in or anything either. So
yeah.
Sounds like
we're getting a little closer to that. Yeah. Okay. But you still have to be in a room or something?
I don't know. Like I it's one of those things I look at and I'm like, this sounds cool, but also sounds a little weird of just all this energy just bouncing around like...
Yeah, now I got to read up on this.
Not that there's not, like, let's be honest, we're sitting in a studio where there's tons of different types of energy just beaming through our bodies
sure.
at all times.
Right.
So,
I guess
it's no different than that.
But hey, if my phone stays constantly charged,
that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it'd be really cool if they could get it out of these four walls and now your car is constantly charged and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Well,
maybe we'll get there.
That'd be kind of fun, be able to park in a lot and
right?
just say, oh, yeah, my car's going to charge while
yep.
it's sitting here.
Yeah. Yeah, don't need to plug it in.
Chargers within a quarter of a mile that can beam the energy
yep.
in.
I like it. I like it. I want it. And I want it now. Let's go.
Look, we've talked about Star Wars quite a bit on the show before. I don't know how far off we are, but the world of like Coruscant in mm-hmm. Star Wars, the big planet that's basically just one giant city
mm-hmm.
and all things technology.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you look at that and go, that may be a future we're eventually heading
yeah,
towards
yeah,
where it's just constant technology just all around us at all times.
Not so outlandish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Kind of cool.
All right. Well, Lever, thank you so much
yes,
for being
thank
on the
you,
show
Lever.
Today. We appreciate your time and jumping on with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun. Thanks.
Definitely. Well, listen, everybody, if you know somebody who is elderly, give them a call today.
Right.
They probably are looking to hear from somebody.
Yeah,
right
there you go.
So I think that's something nice you could do. So thank you so much. And until next time, stay connected. Enhance patient care everywhere it matters. Elo offers touchscreen product solutions for a variety of healthcare applications, ranging from nurse stations and patient education to patient check-in and pharmacy checkout. Streamline healthcare administration and enhance the patient experience with Elo's versatile solutions. To learn more, visit Elo's microsite on bluestarinc.com or contact your Bluestar account manager. Healthcare budgets are tight, but quality technology is a must. Help your customers on both fronts with Zebra's TC21 and TC26 healthcare mobile computers, the ultimate cost-effective devices providing all the features non-clinical healthcare workers need to communicate, document, and stay connected from anywhere on campus or beyond. Choose from Wi-Fi only or cellular options with Zebra's leading voice solutions and mobility DNA tools to deploy healthcare-ready 5-inch display devices with easily removed batteries and a wide selection of potential accessories. To learn more and find plenty of helpful sales tools, check out the show notes or contact the Blue Star Zebra team.